beautiful weather, warm air, birds are singing, you want to walk in the park, maybe you want to have a picnic, you want to kill yourself. How is it that as the weather warms up and spring finally arrives, suicide rates increase? Well, that's a column actually from Global News. Why do rates of suicide increase in the spring? I turn, as I always do, to Oren Amate, docamate.com, registered psychologist. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Does this surprise you?
It's surprising, but it doesn't surprise me when we consider the factors that can lead to suicide.
Yeah, well, it's easy for those of us, of course, who don't know anything about it because we haven't committed suicide and maybe not delved into it too deeply, that we would think it makes sense when the days are short and the weather is cold and people are isolated in their homes.
Right, and I mean, that does lead to depression, and the problem is that when we're talking about actual major depression, clinical depression, I always tell people that it's kind of like having the worst flu in the world without the fever. And it's like, or it's like dragging a bus around, and that's for your mind, your body, your feelings. It's just there's no energy. It's so difficult to think, to carry things out. So the problem is they may be really depressed, or this might be a good thing. They're so depressed, but they don't have the energy and the wherewithal to carry off the suicide that they might be thinking about. That's in the winter.
Yeah.
Come spring, what the column is saying is that the sun, the increased sunlight, it has an effect on our brains, one of them being to increase serotonin release, which is what medications do as well. And that doesn't just change mood, it doesn't just increase mood, but it increases energy. So now, a person who might have been suicidal for the last number of months, but didn't have the energy and ability to carry it out, now they've got those factors, and they're able to pull off this terrible plan.
You know, it sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Completely counterintuitive, and many things in psychology are, and that's why people have to keep an open mind and and be prepared to get this new information and say, well, what can we do with it?
You know, this article, doctor, says that it's a myth that suicides peak during the Christmas time, New Year's holiday period.
Yeah, now it's hard to say. I mean, it makes sense that they do. I know of many cases, anecdotally, where they do peak at that time. But once again, it's likely that, we have a lot of depression going on, but the people just don't have the energy, or they feel that they have to, meet a lot of obligations beforehand. If they have enough energy that they could kill themselves, they might feel, okay, it's Christmas, I've got to do this for my family, or they're just trying to get through. And they also are thinking, a lot of people, it is winter. If I can just make it through the next few months, things will be better in the spring. And the problem is, spring comes, they still don't feel that great. And even if they're feeling a bit better, at least, emotionally, their thoughts around their life, around their future, they're saying, wait a second, here it's spring, and especially with social media, I'm looking at Facebook, everyone else is having a great time, they're going, they had March break or whatever else, and yet I feel miserable. So if I can't even get better now, at the best time of the year, when the new year is changing and so on, when am I going to get better? And then that's when it can lead to hopelessness and, unfortunately, suicide.
Talking to Dr. Oren Amate, why do rates of suicide increase in the spring? Trying to tie two stories together here, doctor. We have the emerging law here in Canada on doctor-assisted suicide. How much of people who kill themselves, not using anyone else's help, how much of it is tied to depression, and how much of it is tied to, I've got a disease that isn't going to get better and I'm going to get over with now?
Well, number-wise, it's hard to know. Depression is probably going to be the more common one, at least among non-older people. I mean, the fatal diseases are going to hit usually people in their later ages, although with cancer, it could, of course, it can strike anybody.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know the exact numbers, but it's a tough call because if someone does have a disease that is going to cause severe pain and just destroy their, their quality of life, we're saying, okay, we're going to allow them to, terminate their life before that gets too bad or even worse. Yet with depression, some could argue the same thing. Like, look, if they don't see any hope whatsoever and they've suffered so badly for so long, why not let them finish it permanently? But the problem is we do know that no matter how bad it gets, there are many people who can turn it around at some point, and it will get better.
There's another kind of curious aspect to this global report, talking to Dr. Roy Namatay, and I'll just read you the paragraph here. There's another interesting theory which has recently gained traction. That is that seasonal allergies might actually be playing a role in these suicides.
Yeah, I saw that. That part I did not think about. They were talking about this thing called cytokines, which apparently have the same effect on neurotransmitters like serotonin, as I was discussing earlier. So it increases the serotonin, you know, gives people this energy, and then allows them to act on their suicidal thoughts or feelings. And again, I'll have to admit, because I'm not a medical doctor, that surprised me. And they're also talking about allergy medication as well might somehow have some effect on the brain that could lead someone to, you know, to carry out their suicidal thoughts.
Okay, so that's more a medical question than it is a psychiatric, psychological question.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it true, maybe this is another myth since we're talking about suicide, they say that the person who always says, oh, woe is me and I'm going to kill myself, is not the one who will kill themselves, it's the one who never says anything.
That's a myth, because a lot of times people who say, oh, it was me and so on, they may not kill themselves the first time. They may be calling out for help. Yet we do know that eventually they may either by accident go too far, whether, let's say, cutting their wrists or taking medication, or they may have called out for help a number of times, didn't get it or didn't get enough. And now they finally, you know, that's it. I've got the evidence. There's no help, no hope. And then they finally do it. So people have to realize if someone is, you know, is showing suicidal thoughts or ideation, they shouldn't assume that they're just crying wolf if they haven't carried it out.
All right. I actually know about this because I have a friend who gets in that state from time to time. Otherwise, sometimes things are going great. So there's an up and down there. And I sort of feel like I want to be helpful and I don't know how.
It's so difficult. I always tell people, look, you can't force someone to get help. You can't force them to get better. And if someone shows that they really cannot at all help themselves, you know, in any way, I say sadly, and this is a terrible thing to have to say, but I say, you know what? The next step is for you to brace yourself for, you know, the inevitable outcome, if that's what it looks like, where it's going. You know, you can't force them unless you're going to be their keeper 24/7. And I'm not trying to be cold. I've seen this happen, unfortunately, and I've seen the devastation, depression, and suicide can do to the, you know, of course, the individual, but the people around them.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's a reality, unfortunately. And but before that point, we can just really hope that someone does everything in their power to help the person get the help they need. But I've said this many times before, Jerry. As we know, the resources for people who are suffering from mental health issues are so lacking in this province and in the country, and that's where the government really needs to step up.
All right. Yeah, and if you're trying to just be all over your friend to keep them from doing something, number one, it'll wear you out. Number two, it might wear them out as well. It might not necessarily help.
No, and that's the thing, because people have the best of intentions, like, hey, let's go out, let's do this, let's do that, and in reality, that will help. But for the person, as I said earlier, the person who's feeling major depression, even getting out of bed can seem so daunting and so terrible. They're going, why don't you understand? Why don't you get me? And that makes them often feel worse, and then they react negatively, and then the people finally get tired of this, and they say, look, we've tried everything, and they're not trying to help themselves, and then they start to disappear, and that tells the person, you see, I knew it, I'm unlovable, nobody cares for me, they're not sticking, you know, they're not around for me.
Dr. Oren Amate at docamate.com. Thanks so much.
As always, Jerry, thank you so much for providing a platform for such important discussions.